The Game 1 edition, Eastern Conference Final Edition of Celtics Today continues from the Garden. Our conversation with the head coach,
Brad Stevens, who told everyone to take the day off on Thursday to get away from it, the nature of the game, the nature of the playoffs, the nature of the grind. I was very curious if you took your own advice.
No. I went out to eat with Brady. Brady and I went to our local Qdoba near our house. And he goes, man, shouldn't you be working? I was like, hey, man, I slept 4 hours. I've worked all day. I got to eat. Like, he was on me. So I guess even at home you're not, like, given any leeway to take a day off.
There is no need whatsoever for me to bring up the fact that your son is now a teenager. I think that's pretty clear from
pretty
that
obvious
conversation.
Yes, that's right.
Why was it important for everybody else to get away?
Well, I think I think just being able to – not come in, not spend an extra day together. We went through that stretch, and my biggest regret of the first series was we played on a Wednesday and not again till Saturday, and we came in because we had won the first two games. Maybe it was a Tuesday and not again till Friday. We came in because we had won the first two games, and we wanted to kind of keep our rhythm going with regard to film and work, and I just thought that, you know, by games three and four, we looked like we had a little bit of fatigue, and it was scary coming back to game five. So when we could, when we can take those days, I think it's really important too. We did the same thing after game one against Philly. You know, part of preparing is being rested and having a clear mind, and, you know, it was important that we did that.
There was very few times early in the season where there was more than a day in between games, but after the third game of the season, you had a meeting with the team. I remember Max and I talking to Jason Tatum about it a long time ago, very early in the year. The topic was about not using youth as an excuse for what had happened with the injury to Gordon earlier in the week to expedite the learning curve. Does the fact that we are all here today mean that the young players on your roster delivered on that?
Well, we'll talk about what we delivered after our season's over. I think the thing about it is they certainly have met every challenge, but this is a brand new one. And it's a great opportunity to, again, you know, test that. And so these guys, you know, just like you have to transition from preparing for Milwaukee to Philadelphia and now to Cleveland, there's so many differences between those teams that you've got to be able to transition quickly. And, you know, if you use youth as an excuse, then instead of just putting in the work and extra time if you need to, then you probably will come up short.
And a different team than you played last week and a very different team throughout the course of the year. They, not unlike what your group has been through, many incarnations of this year's Cavs team, to the fact that they almost, within the context of the playoffs, were reinvented. They look like a much different team in round two than they did in round one.
Yeah, I'd say if you look at Cleveland through the first six games of the playoffs and the last five, it's a totally different team. They found a great kind of toughness and way about them there in Game 7 against Indiana. You know, he talked a lot about going back to the guys that had been there, done that for him. And even though they changed their starting lineup back against Toronto, you can see, like, they've got so much of the kind of old feel to them. They've got the pick and rolls where LeBron picks his matchup. They're running their elbow series great. They're doing things that, you know, these guys that have been around the league so long just kind of do without thinking. And I will say that I think George Hill coming back healthy has really helped because it gives them another really good shooter, another guy that can play pick and roll in their starting lineup, which I think is good for LeBron. And then, you know, ultimately just another really good player.
He and Kevin Love particularly, I thought, have played well together in that second round.
No question. And you know, in the past, LeBron's substitutions have been very, very infrequent. And even in this last series and some of the Indiana series, he sat a little bit more in the first and the third than even we're all used to seeing. And I think one of the reasons is because, you know, with Love and Hill playing that two-man game and with the shooters around it, they've been able to maintain and sometimes build upon their leads.
Marcus Morris starting. This is simply a Kevin Love kind of adjustment, not the same, not a Joel Embiid type center on the other side.
Well, I think Kevin Love, first of all, is terrific in the post. He's terrific on the glass, and you know, he's the thing that makes him different is that he can pick and pop or run in transition to the 3-point line with the very best of them. And so being able to match up with Kevin Love is the number one reason. And then clearly, obviously, you got to have as many guys on the floor that can guard LeBron as possible.
Kyrie Irving has been a resource for you the last couple of days going into the series against his former team. How much of a resource has he been all year when he was playing, when he was not playing, for the rest of the guys in the room?
I would think he'd be he's an even bigger one than I would know. You know, I know that our guys look up to him. I know they talk to him a lot. But I don't know every conversation. I'm not in the midst of every conversation. I'm not on every text message, so I couldn't answer that as well as they can. But he's really invested in it, and he really wants our guys to be good, and he's been consistent with that kind of leadership all year.
You whiffed on Valentine's Day, as we discussed in this spot a couple of months ago when we all convened on that night. Is there any hope?
That turned out well. Was that the Clippers game?
That was the Clippers game.
That was the worst we played all year.
That is probably at the top or bottom of the list, depending on how you rank them.
That was the worst game to go. I know you want to, like, rip on my inability to buy gifts, so I'm filibustering. That was worst game to lead into an All-Star break that I've ever been a part of, because it's just mad for 9 days.
See,
it was just not good.
I thought you were going to say it was the worst thing to lead into a Valentine's Day night, which the obvious question was, are you going to whiff on Mother's Day too? But this is more interesting that you immediately looked past Valentine's Day and just cared more about the All-Star break.
I went straight to the store yesterday and got a nice bouquet of flowers, made sure that my wife knew how much we all appreciated her. My kids did a good job of doing their own little cards and their own little thing. And then talked to my mom this morning. So I think we covered the bases, which is good.
And we got this done, too, which is all. We got everything done in a single day. Now all that's left to do is play. Celtics and Cavs, game one next on the 98.5 The Sports Hub Celtics Radio Network.
See ya.